this episode kicking off season two. I had the pleasure of speaking with, you'll hear him pronounce his name because I can't do it. He is from Sockfideus, which is an upcoming NFT collectibles platform that is 3D interactive NFTs made out of Boxmart. So something a little bit new and exciting. Definitely not the ripped off chubby stuff we've been seeing. No more fake punks. Let's go. Get back to real art, real people, real stories. Bring it to you right here on NFT Time.
A little notification.
Sweet. I'll record it on my side as well, just as a backup.
Sounds like a plan. All right, so I guess I should probably have an intro at some point for this podcast. So I guess I'll just do like a random little intro thing. So I'm Bruce the Goose. This is NFT Time. Today we have with us... I'm going to butcher your name.
No, Soteris.
From Voxodius, did I get that right?
Voxodius.
Gotcha. And so if you want to like go over what Voxodius is.
For sure. Thank you for having me on to begin with. So Voxodius is the world's first 3D interactive large-scale collectible. So the idea behind Voxodius is we've created this range of collectibles, which each one's a unique 3D model. And we've got 6,313 of these across different species classes, different rarity levels. And then we've also got different factions. So we've created all these different kind of variable levels of traits and uniqueness that then gives like this really nice breadth to the collection. And so it's similar to things like CryptoPunks, where you've got lots of different tiers of rarity. We've like embedded that approach, but we're really trying to take NFTs to the next level. So we've made these unique individual 3D models that are fully interactive. And so what we've done is we've made a bespoke 3JS viewer, where we've cut like hard coded all these custom shaders, all this like lighting, fog, glow, all these kind of like cinematic effects to best show off these like 3D characters. And so what people can then do is like log into our website and even on OpenSea to like zoom in, twist these characters, play some audio, enable these like custom 3D diorama backgrounds. And in the future, we're planning on letting people be able to like tweak the lighting, set up the perfect position, how they want to display their character. And so we're trying to like take the space to like the next step. And I love projects like CryptoPunks. They were the kind of first of its kind, where it really established this kind of idea of like large scale collectibles. However, they launched like 3 years ago. And I think 2D has been done beautifully already. And not many people are addressing the world of 3D, especially when it comes to collectibles. And so that's where we kind of really found this quite interesting niche. So as far as the actual primary focus of the project goes, it's like just trying to create these stunning 3D interactive collectibles. And again, limited to just over 6,000. Of these. And then with this project, we're trying to like push the frontier in a number of different areas when it comes to NFTs. And so the fact that we're doing the 3D interactive ones for the NFT itself, that's the focus. But then we're also looking at other ways we can innovate. And so we're offering I think again, which is very unique to this space, but this idea of like lifetime royalties. And so normally with NFTs, artists or the creators can set a commission. The industry standard is around 10 to 15% commission, which means for every future sale of that NFT, the original creator gets, say, a 10% cut of that sale, like a royalty. What we're actually doing is trying to repurpose the majority of that commission back to the original minters. And so we're offering 6% commission going back to the community. And so what that will look like is everyone who holds an NFT, and for every NFT they hold, or for every NFT they mint, I should say, they get a equal share of 6% of the transaction volume. And so when we first start, we're offering 6% of the transaction volume in total. What that entails is 2% lifetime and then a 4% launch bonus. And then later in the year, once sort of L2 has been rolled out fully, we'll repurpose that 4% for things like commission pools. And so what that will do is then reward like our most loyal like hodlers. But for now, at least, we'll be offering like 6% of the total transaction fee. And so what that can actually generate is some insane levels of ROI, especially for like people who get in at the lowest pricing tiers. You can be looking in the thousands of percent ROI based on current transaction volume on OpenSea. And hopefully, and so the transaction volume we've based all of this on is the average price of the top 30 NFTs on OpenSea. So we're basically saying if we're above like position 15 in the coming months, coming years, then you'll be looking at that kind of ROI level at given prices. And so this idea of like lifetime royalties becomes this sort of like yield generating NFT, where you're not having to deal with like creating like LP tokens, like liquidity provider tokens. You're not having to worry about impermanent loss. You just mint the NFT and then you can just sit back and then for the rest of your life, just claim commission. And you don't even need to like own the NFT forever either. So all the NFTs will reveal themselves on the 30th of April. And then after that point, you can sell your NFT, but as long as you've been the one to mint it, that wallet can claim the commission for life. So that's really quite unique in the space. And then finally, so we have the 3D interactive NFT collectibles, we have the lifetime commission, and then we've also got a 500 Ethereum kind of scavenger hunt prize, where we will randomly distribute keys to some of the base tier characters. And so we've got 4,000 robots and 2,000 sapiens. And so amongst those two levels, we'll distribute to begin with 16 keys or mega keys. And then the first person to have owned 8 key bearing NFT characters will unlock this 500 Ethereum grand prize. So what that does is actually create this like interesting incentive that means people will be like hopefully pouring into the project trying to buy these tokens to win this massive prize, because even at current levels that's like over $1 million USD. And so the nice thing with that is it helps maintain this price floor, because there's a certain price where it doesn't make sense to sell your Voxo, to sell your NFT. And it also brings in new people to the space. So that helps raise all the prices, raises the price floor, but then that feeds back into providing more commission for the minters. So basically, if this project is successful and it gets attention and gets people brought in, you've got this like amazing kind of feedback loop where you've got prize incentives, you've got these 3D interactive NFTs, and then people are wanting to buy and trade to find these keys to win the prize. And then every trade is helping boost commission. And so basically we've just focused on how can we maximize returns for minters and create something that's going to be like beautiful and lasting.
Yeah, this looks really cool.
Thank you, man.
Might have to unload a couple things so I can ape into this on Friday or whatever day it is.
Thursday. Thursday the 15th of April. 3 PM UTC.
Gotta get better at marketing, apparently.
So we've just launched the website actually last night. So you're one of the first people to see it. And so this is giving an overview of the project, how the USPs work, It's giving an example of some of the 3D characters themselves. What I would suggest as well is maximizing to full screen for some of these, so you can really see some of the details. And then halfway down the page, we've got a section called Species, Factions, and Rarity. And then if you go to the Factions tab, you can see the 3D diorama background. So each of the four factions comes with this like crazy default 3D world. And then in the future, we're looking at like collaborating with artists and other people to like create these like custom backgrounds. And so also for the first 1,000 people who kind of sign up to like a Twitter whitelist promotion, will get a unique background as well that we'll make especially for them.
Gonna make sure I got notifications on for Vox a Day on Twitter then. That special stuff.
Yeah. And then finally, I can explain about the rarities. So we've got this idea of like rarity modifiers. So I think everyone from our kind of age range, so I'm 30, but we kind of grew up with Pokemon. And so I think shiny Pokemon are like very fond to everyone's heart, especially the things like the shiny Charizard. So what we're actually doing is offering these like super rare and ultra rare Voxo NFTs. And so what we'll do is randomly select 19% to be super rare and 1% to be ultra rare. And so the ultra rare is basically the shiny Pokemon equivalent. So you've got loads of these like shimmering special surfaces, all these like neon LEDs, and like it's going to be like basically a super jazzy pimped up version of these NFTs. And so the nice thing with that is they'll be distributed evenly across the tiers. So what I wanted to do is essentially create incentives for every category. Because if you look at CryptoPunks, you've got, I think like 9 aliens, 32 apes, I think 36 zombies, and then you've got a few thousand female, then thousands and thousands of male characters. And what that basically does is create these kind of pricing cutoffs where only very few people can afford the alien because they're like millions of dollars. And even the apes are in USD terms still like 1.5 million and up. And so going down the list, you've got these kind of these brackets. And so what I wanted to do was create this idea of like variable rarity in each bracket as well. So that's why we've got the factions, and that's why we've got the super rare and the ultra rare. So even if, say, the majority of people can only afford the base two levels, so for us that's robots and sapiens, they've still got loads of rarity variants within the sapien category. So you've got the factions, which is so we've got like we've got the factions split up in a certain way, where only 10% of them are called Astra. 10% of them are called Angos, and then 20% of them are called Astra, another 20% are called Verita, and then 50% are Corpo. So amongst the sapien sort of bracket, if you get an Angos, you're already getting one of the rare ones, because that's only 10% of sapiens are Angos. And then if you're fortunate enough to get a shiny Angos or an ultra rare Angos, then that's like triply, quadruply rare. And that's still one that falls within the sapien kind of category that's hopefully a little bit more accessible to most people. So this project's basically trying to, cater for all prices and create good incentives across the board.
I think it's definitely got a lot of potential.
Thank you, man.
It's definitely unique, that's for sure. I don't know how many hash masks clones I've seen now.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I love CryptoPunks. I love hash masks, and I've even seen a couple of the sort of punk inspired projects that I do like. For instance, BGANs, so Bastard Gans. I really like that one. I own one myself. But I must say the vast majority of NFT projects at the moment, NFT collectibles, do just seem like a quick kind of cash grab.
Yeah,
where
yeah, 90% of it's cash grab right now.
They just take,
which is inevitable. Like you start getting all this money moving around in space. It's just a matter of time before the mob showed up.
Yeah. And there's nothing like inherently wrong with that. It's basically free markets. You've got supply and demand. So if the demand's there and people are buying it, fair play to them. But like for us, we wanted to go sort of above and beyond. So we've been working on this for months now, and the team has grown to 22 people. I'm self-funding this whole thing. It's like turned into this like epic project, but all of us are trying to do it right. And so
definitely relate to that. I've been building an NFT hub for almost a year now.
Oh, nice. How's that?
Self-funded and pretty much I'm a one-man army most of the time.
For sure, man. And I think as well, what I do enjoy with, say, something like a self-funded project is you've got skin in the game. So, like, I'm fully committed to this. I've got my name
right
to this project.
And not only that, like, I'm not beholden to anybody. Like, I don't have a yeah telling me what I got to do or when I got to get their money. It's like, yeah, I don't know nobody, nothing.
No, exactly. And I think there's definitely a time and a place for investor money, depending on what it is you're trying to do. But for us, this is something like people are truly passionate about. And so it's something where we're working with a lot of people. It's like 22 people. And like, obviously people are invested, but I'm also trying to like give back to the team. So I'm offering like very generous, like bonus structures if we're successful and things like that. And so I'm trying to get everyone who's working on this kind of invested in the success of the project. And to be honest, whatever happens, this has been like one of the most amazing experiences of my life, and getting to work with such an amazing team of people, and the amount I've learned and the amount I've grown just doing this. Like, obviously I want it to be successful and make some money, but ultimately, like, whatever happens, this is just something I can say I'm like truly, truly proud of. And I think everyone involved in this has really taken it to the next level. And so we've got like a core team of co-founders. So we've got Ben, who is this like amazing games designer and art director. He's got this like indie game studio that got seed money from Microsoft. And he's now creating his own like stunningly beautiful indie game. So he's been the character designer behind all of this. So he creates these like amazingly detailed character sketches for every single one, and then works with a team of like six voxel modelers. And so the art style is voxel, so it's like 3D pixels, and hence the name Voxadeus. And so like him and I have been working with all these modelers to create these kind of amazing characters, and then we've created a base of like 45 different sort of archetype base characters, and then upon that we do many different variations and iterations. And so for instance, one of our hero characters is this like old boy Japanese samurai kind of dude, but what we've done is take the samurai as its own kind of archetype and then created a whole bunch of different variants off of samurai. So we've got this kind of like sort of samurai with an afro, with some cool additions, and then we've got like another one who's got kind of like a scabbard type thing versus like a actual samurai sword, and then they've got like different clothes, different factions, different hairstyles, different like faces. So what we'll end up with is kind of like hundreds of these sort of like samurai characters, which all tie back to this one kind of like OG character, but you get this like really broad spread of like character attributes and different rarities. So you've got Ben, who's been basically driving all of the art direction behind this, and he's done such a stunning job. It's just ridiculous. And then we've got this like amazing blockchain developer. He's been in the space for over 6 years now, and he's been the genius behind creating all of these kind of like NFT incentive structures. And so even just to program the lifetime commission has been ridiculously difficult to pull off. So what we're actually having to do is create like a minting contract and then the Voxadeus contract. And so people will mint the NFTs through the Voxadeus minting contract. And then what that will do is generate NFTs into the Voxadeus primary contract. But what that will do is give us access to the lifetime commission for each of the future sales. And then OpenSea pays that commission back to the minting wallet. And then from there, we've got a smart contract, which then distributes the commission payments to the minter wallets. And so what people will need to do is, if you've minted a Voxadeus NFT 1 month after launch, because you need a month to get the commission, or you need 2 weeks technically, but we're doing it in like monthly batches. So once we've received the commission from OpenSea into the Minter wallet, people then can go to our website, and as long as you're logged in and connected with your wallet that you minted the NFT originally with, you can just click the claim button, and then you can get your commission sent straight to your wallet in Ethereum. Unfortunately, you'll have to pay a gas fee, but that's quite standard in the space. So what you can do is just let the commission accumulate, say over a couple of months or whatever, and then just claim it in one go. And so once you've got that commission, it's not going anywhere. It's only going to grow. And so you can sit back for months, years. You can sit back for 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, however long you want, and you'll be making money off this. And all you have to do is make sure you're one of the first people to mint this project on Thursday. And so
that's very cool.
And then some other core members of the team. So we've got Ben, the art director, we've got the blockchain developer, and then we've got Shireen, who's been doing all the branding, all the website design, all the UX, UI interaction, really creating this amazing site. We've got Allison, who's the creative writer behind this. So she's been developing the lore of the Cypherverse and creating all of this backstory about how the Omega created the Cypherverse. And then he sort of made these Ascendi, so these eight kind of godlike characters to kind of help him create the Cypherverse. And then with a bit of a nod to Satoshi, the Omega just vanished. And then they're in this like vacuum of power that was left after they vanished. The Ascendi kind of created these like four factions because they each felt they had the true path to unifying the Cyphersphere. And so out of that, you've got these kind of like these godlike characters, and they've got these sort of exomorph helpers. So these exomorphs all have this like kind of animal mask that they can't remove because they've kind of like evolved into something unique. And then below that, you've got orgs. So these kind of like cyborg human type evolution. And then you've got the sapiens, who are like the base level. And then you've got the robots, which are kind of the sort of first soldiers of the universe. And so Allison's been like developing this whole like lore backstory, which is just fucking awesome. And then we've got An amazing sort of front-end developer for the homepage. We've then got a Web3 and React developer for the minting page. That'll come live on Thursday once the sales start. And then we've got, like I said before, like six like specialist FoxOne modelers. We've got four 3D asset specialists who are like UV unmapping. We've also got Ding, who's like our 3D production asset engineer. So he's been managing all of the 3D production of everything. We've then got other guys doing like promotional marketing type things in Blender. We've got two composers who are creating all these like bespoke audio tracks for each faction. We've got an advisor who is like a US securities lawyer who's worked on like multi-billion dollar, $10 billion plus IPOs, some of the biggest tech companies. We've got another blockchain advisor, Akshay, who again is like super experienced in the space and working for like one of the bigger quantitative analysis crypto firms out there. And then we've got this like amazing physicist who's been hard coding the 3JS viewer and like making all the custom shaders. And then just like a few more people here and there helping out where they can. And so like I said before, this is something that's taken months. It's a huge team. It's something we want to do right. It's not just something where we like quickly generate some 2D graphics and just chuck up 20,000 of these things and hope for the best. This has really been like a labor of love, where we only have 6,000. So compared to like the 10,000 CryptoPunks and the 16,000 hash masks, we're already baking in this kind of like amount of rarity. Right. And we could have been greedy. We could have been like, oh, we'll make 20,000, make even more money. But we really want to kind of create something that's kind of true to ourselves and will ultimately benefit the minters.
That's very cool.
Thank you.
I'm definitely excited for it.
Yeah. So how do you feel about the sort of 3D space for NFTs in general? I know you said you've worked with TVK as one of their primary artists, and
I think there's a lot of potential for like 3D, and I think as far as art, I think we're all right. We're barely scratching the surface of what we can be doing with NFTs. And like beyond art, there's just a million use cases that we're not even touching on yet.
100%.
I think something I've considered doing, just like, I don't have the time or the attention span to actually do it, is Mozilla Spoke, I think it's called. It's kind of like Mozilla Hubs, but like it's actually pretty detailed VR worlds that are customizable, and I think it's open source. And like I've thought about doing like building a whole like environment and like whole experience or whatever, and then like sell it as a single NFT. And it's like, okay, yeah, but it's not just like the image or the video. Like you can go in this 3D world because you own the NFT and you can experience it.
That's super interesting, actually. I love the idea of this kind of like immersive experiential approach with NFTs. And if you look at the sort of the buyer of the $69 million Beeple, he's fully invested in the virtual world and creating these virtual experiences. And he bought that Beeple piece to display in the kind of, I think it was like Crypto Voxels universe.
I think the B20 galleries in Crypto Voxels.
Yeah. And it's just a super interesting approach, where even if you look at this kind of like transition into the world of digital, especially after COVID, you've got things like live concerts in Fortnite, where you've got thousands of people just logging in to to join this concert. And I think the idea of having these kind of like virtual communities is a super interesting idea, because especially when you have this kind of immersive element, I think it really creates this kind of at least one step closer towards what makes in-person interactions really special. It's like you have this kind of shared experience. And so I think there are limitations when you're talking on platforms like Zoom, for instance, because we've each got our own background noise and we're slightly one step removed from each other. But in the virtual world, you're kind of sharing the same environment. So if you're, right, if you're both in this virtual like concert, you're both listening to the same music. You're both like stood next to each other, looking around. And like, if a firework goes off, you both see it at the same time. And like, it gives you this kind of like shared connection, in a similar way with like video games, for instance. I think I used to play a lot of Halo and I made some amazing friendships back in the day, just playing this video game in the virtual world. And these were people I'd never met in person, but because we'd shared this kind of 3D world and these like avatars and we're playing the game together and you're stood next to each other and you see and hear an explosion, and like it just gives you this kind of sense of unity. And so I think there's still so much we can do with just kind of like virtual interactions, socializing virtually. And again, I think stuff like NFTs fit perfectly into this transition to a more digital and virtual world.
And yeah, for sure.
And also, like you said, with NFTs, we're just experiencing the start of what's possible as well. Because if you look at ownership, most ownership is non-fungible. And so you've got fungible like Bitcoin, because it doesn't really matter which Bitcoin you own, they're all worth one Bitcoin. Right. But you only have one Mona Lisa. You only own one house. You can't have 10 of the same houses all worth the exact same amount normally, unless it's like a new development. But like, generally speaking, objects and ownership are one-offs. They're tied to a certain thing. And so that's the essence behind NFTs, non-fungible tokens. And so if you look at how NFTs could be applied to ownership in general, I think we're literally just scratching the surface. And
yeah, very much so.
And the same with crypto. It's this idea of smart contracts. It's transfer of ownership and agreements. And everything in the world runs on contracts and agreements. And if you look at any kind of product or system, the amount of contracts and agreements that have to go into that is insane. So for instance, a bit of background on myself, I'm a product designer. And so I've been designing sort of physical 3D products for the last 10 years. And I've worked on everything from sort of power tools to these luxury carbon fiber drones to my own sex toy company with my wife. And now I design surgical robots for a living as my primary job. And so if you look at all the different systems and steps it takes to launch a product to market, you've basically got contracts all the way through that chain. So you've got contracts with the initial designers designing the thing. You've got contracts with the people marketing it. You've got contracts with the factories. You've got contracts with all of the logistics to actually get the materials and then ship the product. And then you've got contracts with the retailers and the shops, and then you've even got contracts between the shops and the customers. And so all of this ties in perfectly with crypto. It's like each one of these things can be a smart contract and just create this like hyper efficient connected world. And again, with NFTs, you just factor it. That's like the final piece of the puzzle, because with NFTs, you can then generate that and just give this kind of immutable ownership that then fits perfectly into the whole blockchain ecosystem. So I've been investing in the crypto space since kind of 2016. I remember looking at the price of Bitcoin recently after I graduated, and it was just under 200 USD. And I wish I had more money back then, because because I missed the golden opportunity. But around 2016, I had a bit more cash to deploy. So that's when I first started investing properly. But since then, I've been super bullish on the space. And I don't think crypto is this panacea that people necessarily make it out to be, especially in a bull run. But I do think it's like game changing at a global level. And
yeah, it's definitely a complete paradigm shift.
Yeah, 100%. And I think we're still early. I know it sounds crazy, but if you look at the actual real world use cases of a lot of these sort of like crypto projects and just kind of crypto based technology, we're still in its infancy. So I think we're like compared to say the kind of like tech evolution over the last 20-30 years, potentially we're like 97, 98, 99 kind of range where things are pumping pretty hard, but we've not really figured out these kind of like lasting use cases. And so obviously you're going to have these cycles where the price pumps and things like that, but ultimately I still think we're early, and it's a really exciting space to be in. And so especially with NFTs, I felt they're this nice midpoint now between the world of crypto and people who are coming from like a less deep tech and programming background. So for example, for myself, I'm not a programmer, and I can't code to any like particularly like usable level. I also don't come from a finance background. And so I think a lot of the previous crypto projects, they were some kind of like fairly high barriers to entry for a lot of people. But what I've really enjoyed with the NFT space in general, is just, it's given me an opportunity as a designer to really bring in all of my skill sets there, where I can add kind of 100x value to what it is I'm working on. And with other projects, you can obviously add value, but I wanted to work on something where I know I can really get involved in almost every vertical to make this thing happen. And so, I'm just super pleased for the NFT space in general, and the fact that I can now have this kind of this opportunity is just is really a blessing.
Yeah, it's life changing for sure.
How about you? How have you found the experience as an artist?
Right around the end of 2019, like I had zero interest in crypto at all. Like, I just wouldn't hear it. You know what I mean? Like, it's magic internet money. Don't want to hear nothing about your goddamn pyramid schemes. And then I was out of work before the pandemic hit, and I was actually setting up a sex toy shop online, funny coincidentally. And
good choice.
Banks and whatnot like wouldn't deal with me because I didn't have any like sales records, and it's a quote unquote high risk industry. It's like I couldn't take a credit card. It's like, well, no one's gonna write me a check to buy something from me online. Like, gotta figure out something. So I figured, maybe Bitcoin is an option. Like, maybe that'll work. People seem to be talking about that a lot lately. And like, I was looking into that. I stumbled onto the Engine ICO announcement. And like, I've been a lifetime gamer, so like, I'm familiar with Engine as a game studio. And I was like, what does Engine want cryptocurrency for? Like, how does this make any sense? Then I read through it, and like, they're talking about NFTs and like their interoperable multiverse and like taking game items into other games and selling them on secondary markets. And I was like, this changes everything. Like,
I know.
Mind blown. And then a little deeper into the rabbit hole, I found The First Supper, which was the first programmable artwork released by Async Art. And like, that just absolutely blew me away. I was like, all right, well, this is my life now.
Love it. Ah, that's amazing. And how do you see the space moving forward? And again, how like artists fit into that?
I mean, I think we're definitely in a bit of a bubble right now. But I mean, I 100%. Think to an extent, I think it's a good thing, right? Like, because the people that are going to come in for the money are going to come in and get their money and get out. And then the people that are coming in, like, that might not have come in other without the hype, like, there's going to be a bunch of them that come in and they're like, they have that aha moment. It's like, oh, this is what I'm doing with my life.
I fully agree about the bubble approach. I think within the crypto space in general, you do have these kind of hype cycles, and you have these bubble phases where the price goes crazy. But like you said, what that does is provide this marketing and this approach that brings so many people into the space. And if you look at the cycles, the bubble cycles of something like Bitcoin, especially, each time, even though it's that you've had this like blow off top, the retracement is still higher than the previous all-time high. And so even though the price goes up and then pulls back, you're still incrementing up. Like, everything's still trending up in the long term. And so it's for that very reason, like you said, it's like each bubble cycle brings in more people to the space. And when people really wake up and see the potential of crypto, and now the potential of kind of like digital ownership and assets and art, I don't think we're ever going back to levels like we saw in 2016. It's like the price might go up further still and pull back a little bit, but I think we're still going to be taking a big step forward.
Yeah, I don't see an under 2K ETH again anytime soon.
Potentially, we're still hovering around kind of 2K. I think 2K is quite a good sort of mental barrier. So I don't think we'll see much below it for any great period of time. We might get some wicks as kind of futures expire in a couple of weeks, but yeah, I think especially for things like Ethereum, the price has been quite a relatively slow grind up since it went from like 700 to 1,000, and yeah, I think Ethereum is just primed. And so again, when it comes to timing, we wanted to launch this project as well before things started going crazy with Ethereum as well. And so I think hopefully we're at the perfect moment with the launch on Thursday. And personally myself, I'm very, very bullish on Ethereum. It's by far my biggest holding. I'm like fully committed to the sort of decentralized nature of what Ethereum's kind of bringing. And personally, I think it's the only protocol outside of Bitcoin that I feel has true staying power and lasting potential, because ultimately I think everything in tech is kind of like Metcalfe's law. It's the number of users and the number of connections grows exponentially. And even though you've got these other projects that seem super promising and very hypey, like there's not that many projects on them, there's not that many users. And if you look at where everyone is and where all the developers are, most people are still on Ethereum. And I think that will create a lasting platform. And that's also why we chose Ethereum to build Voxadeus, because we had a lot of conversations internally about looking at like different L2 solutions. We were highly considering Matic because you can still settle in Ethereum. But yeah, the other platforms just aren't mature enough yet. And I was like, if we're offering lifetime royalties to people, I want to provide a platform that I think is going to have staying power within the space. And for me, that's Ethereum.
Right.
How about yourself though? Do you, what do you think about the wider market in general right now?
I mean, I think there's things to be cited for a lot of stuff. I got like Wax, for example, like the onboarding is definitely easier than Ethereum. Like you don't have to worry about private keys and seed phrases and shit. You just sign up for a Wax cloud wallet with your Google account and your Gucci. But like Ethereum's got the network effect. It's got the developers, it's got the creatives. Like as much as we can appreciate all the other options out there, like nobody's leaving Ethereum.
No. Yeah, I really don't think so. And especially once they have L2, then you resolve all of the issues.
Like at this point, if you're not building EVM compatible from the start, like you're messing up.
And again, that's why we've got this like L2 component with the commission pools. But we're not enabling that until later in the year, once that whole sort of those bridges and the framework is like fully mature. And so with that, we want to offer these kind of like even higher levels of incentives for people who like are long-term holders of the kind of Voxadeus NFTs. And I think providing something like L2 then can create these kind of really interesting like staking and commission pool kind of structures and incentives that can elevate things even further. And so again, with Voxadeus, we're trying to create something that's lasting. And this is something I'm committed to. And it's not just a launch the NFT and then wash my hands of it. We've got quite a detailed roadmap and a lot still in the works. And I want to be continuing to grow and evolve this project. And so I think one of the most important things, especially with the NFT space and NFT projects, is you want a project that isn't forgotten about. And so that was the main reason for creating the 500 Ethereum scavenger hunt prize, because a lot of projects, they'll just sell out and then get forgotten about the next week. And so with the 500 Ethereum prize, it's like $1 million prize. It's a scavenger hunt, and it's only going to increase as the price of Ethereum goes up, in USD terms at least. And so what that will hopefully do is give the initial holders incentive to kind of be like buying and trading these NFTs to try and find these kind of like key bearing Voxo characters. And the nice thing is once you've got a character that has a key, you can use that key to unlock one of your 8 locks, but then you can sell the character again and probably for like quite a healthy premium, because there's not many of these key bearing characters. And so what that does is provide all of these like trading and sort of like points of interest on the project. So it's going to be staying like top of people's mind. And what that will do is mean the price floor is hopefully constantly increasing. And then with a prize of this nature, I think it's also going to generate some media attention and then hopefully bring in new people into the space. And as new people come in, that's going to push the prices even higher, provide more commission. And so hopefully by the time the 500 Ethereum prize is unlocked, the actual awareness of Voxadeus as a project will have spread massively. And hopefully that will have cemented it as one of the kind of top NFT projects in the space. And especially as it's the first 3D interactive NFT, it's like the first NFT that is the next evolution of collectibles. And so then after the 500 Ethereum prize has been claimed, what you've then got is this kind of like, or hopefully this project that everyone knows about, or everyone in the space knows about. And so what that prize has done is basically cement Voxadeus for the long term. And so even if we go through a few more cycles, I'm hoping it will become something similar to CryptoPunks, where it was the first to do something unique, and hopefully that will last, versus all of these like CryptoPunk clones, like Bunks or Binance Punks, for instance. Again, credit to them for being innovative and just doing a clone on Binance. But as far as kind of
all, that's
No, it's not innovative.
Straight up copy and paste.
Yeah, but I think there is. I do give some credit to them for having that idea to begin with, even though I wouldn't do it personally, because I think just morally and my own values, I don't want to just take other people's work. But they did it, and there was a demand, and so I don't chastise them for it, even though I don't agree with it. But ultimately, I don't think that's going to be a lasting project in a few years, let alone 10 years or 20 years. It's just going to get forgotten about. But I think CryptoPunks is not going anywhere because they were one of the first to do what they did. And so hopefully Voxodeus can be remembered in a similar way for really pulling the NFT space or the NFT collectible space into this kind of new 3D interactive realm.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to be an interesting year.
Yeah, for sure. Especially the next 6 months, I think, are going to be very, very, very interesting.
Very exciting, that's for sure.
Thank you, man.
As much as I, overall, like, I'm definitely excited for Voxodeus. I think it looks dope. But overall, the whole space is just wild right now.
Oh, yeah.
And like, it's not going to count down anytime soon, like, because pretty soon we're going to run out of first in the world and we're going to have to start one-upping each other.
That's very true. Very true.
And it's freaking awesome.
Yeah. And that's why I'm committed to making Voxodeus this kind of lasting project, because I know there's going to be more competition and I want to continue to innovate on this project. And yeah, we also do take a small portion of the commission. So we have 1.5% of the commission going to the treasury. So what that will do is help fund these kind of future developments, help fund overheads for things like hosting and everything else. And so we're still incentivized as well by taking that small cut to make the project a lasting success, and to keep it growing. And like I said before, it's all skin in the game. And so I'm fully invested in this and in its longevity. And so, yeah, me and the core team, we're going to continue to innovate on all fronts.
A lot of the people, I feel bad for the, in a way, I feel bad for the people buying all this knockoff punk garbage that's going to be worthless in a month.
Yeah.
In a way, I feel bad for them. But at the same time, it's like, it's your own dumbass fault.
I guess it's the nature of speculation. Everyone's hoping.
Speculation thing, but like, I don't, maybe I just think of it differently because I've never been an investor. Like, I couldn't tell you when I last had two pennies to rub together before I got into crypto. So like, I was living paycheck to paycheck. I never even considered like putting money in stocks or crypto or anything. So like,
I think that's the same for a lot of people in the space, to be honest.
Yeah, then I got into it, and now I'm like, I probably made more money last year than I did in the five before that.
Yeah, I know that feeling. It's quite insane how things can increase in the space.
I've collected things my whole life. Like, I'm a huge Pokemon nerd. I got Magic cards around somewhere. I got a pile of comic books around somewhere. Like,
Somebody
who's just like naturally drawn to collect, it's like, yo,
yeah.
Like, what are these people thinking? Like what I don't get about like all the like fake punks hype is like, okay, 90% of this is just like an anonymous person behind a Twitter account. Which is like, I don't like hate the whole anon thing. Like, I got it to an extent, you know, like there's definitely reasons. Like, I mean, very few people, if any, in this space know what my actual name even is, let alone like who I am beyond being Bruce the Goose.
Yeah. And that's the thing. So there's nothing inherently wrong with it, but obviously you have these thoughts at the start of the project, like, oh, should I put my name to this? Should I do it anonymously? And
right, yeah. So for things like collectibles, it's like, I want to know who the team behind that is. Like, if it's
exactly
shit, like, all right, whatever, code is law. I need to worry about the code, not who's building it. Like, if the audit's good, then we're good. But like, when it's art, on the other hand, it's like, I want to know this person's here. for like to be here. Not just like trying to sell some art and make some money real quick and never hear from them again.
No, exactly. And that's why I've doxed myself with this project. And it's like something that I'm truly proud of putting my name to. And I have 100% confidence in the project and the team. Or otherwise, I wouldn't stake my reputation on this. And so, yeah, I think, especially in this space, it's important to have, to kind of have that recognition and to have that commitment to something.
Yeah, just really, which is why I don't get these like knockoff punk shit. Like the one random example, the Chubbies, like they just found out that like that all that art was plagiarized.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Wow. Okay.
Like stuff like that. Like I couldn't tell you who started the Chubbies. Like, honestly, no idea.
Yeah.
Larva Labs started CryptoPunks, though.
Yeah, 100%. And that's the that's one of the problems with the space, where it's kind of people do want to just do a quick cash grab, and so like you said, they didn't realize they plagiarized Chubbies, but that's kind of unfortunate to hear. And we've been working on this, like I said, for months, and so we're looking at the whole space just going crazy, and we're like, oh, do we just like push forward, launch now? And I'm like, no, this needs to be right. I want to do this right. And even if it takes longer, hopefully people will see the kind of quality and the commitment of the project once we launch. And so we probably could have launched a month ago, but I didn't want to pull the trigger. I wanted to make sure like everything was perfect
first. That's how I've been with NFT Hub for months. Like I was being a total perfectionist about it. And like, I don't get the, like, here's a landing page, money, please. Like clearly it works, but like, I couldn't even try to bring myself to do that. So I was like, if I'm going to open this and like talk about it, I'm going to have something worth talking about. But yeah. Then like the whole goddamn world decided that NFTs were cool. It's like, all right, well, I guess we just test and prod.
No, 100%. 100%. But yeah, I think we're very fortunate to be in the space right now, and to be people who can be kind of actively contributing to the space.
As much as I can be frustrated by the stupid pixel art hype nonsense, whatever you want to call it, like it's still like I got to look at it as like, well, I still also have more money than I'd ever had previously in my life. Like I'm not rich by any means, but like I'm also not struggling or stressing about my bills.
Mm.
I spent the past year sitting on my ass doing whatever the hell I want. So like,
nice.
Well, I might be mad that somebody's buying a Picasso punk for $80,000 instead of buying my art for a few hundred.
Yeah, it's all relative. Yeah, but no, I completely agree with the overall sentiment. It's like, it's kind of a rising tide lifts all boats.
With all the hype going on right now, it's like, well, I know damn well, and people that have collected my art are probably just as confident as I am that when all the hype dies down, I'm gonna still be here, still doing my thing.
Yeah, no, 100%. And whatever happens, I'm still committed to Voxodeus long term, and still going to be grinding away, making cool stuff, and yeah, just really having fun, I think, is the most important thing. Just, I've never had as much fun in my life. Yeah, on a project as I've had with this. It's just like, honestly, it is cliche, but it's like I'll jump out of bed first thing in the morning to work on this, and it's like the last thing on my mind before I go to sleep, and in just like the most enjoyable, beautiful way. And yeah, it's just energizing. I feel alive.
Yeah, it's very cool. And it's like, it really feels like that, like even with being at like such a nascent stage of it, and like right now so much of it is focused on money, which is a pain in the ass, but like from a bigger picture, like the NFT space in general, like what it's doing for creatives, like the questions it's raising around the environment and technology and all that other shit, like it matters a lot in the grand scheme of things. Like
no 100%.
Shift on a global scale, and we're like right at the beginning of it. It's wild.
I Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I couldn't be more excited for the space. And yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, thank you for coming on and talking.
And I'll be sure to keep a very close eye on everything you're working on in NFT Hub, and I'm super excited to see how the future looks.
Yeah, if you want to check out the beta, it's live right now. It's nfthub.com.
I certainly will. And for us, you can check out Voxodeus at voxodeus.io. So that's voxodeus.io. And all our information's there. And you can also check us out on Twitter at Voxodeus.
Will do. And then that comes out Thursday, right?
Thursday. This Thursday.
Thursday the 15th.
Thursday the 15th of April.
All
right. Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much. Had a really great time. Okay. Yeah, thank you. And let's stay in touch.
Yeah, sounds good. Looking forward to Thursday.
All right, man. Talk soon.
Peace.
Bye-bye.